Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between, and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and a San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
This is episode 87, everyone. Welcome back for another fun-filled week. Pearl, how was your weekend? What did you do this weekend, biatch?
This weekend, I worked over at Asia.
Asia SF, you guys. She's working there now.
But other than that, I kept it pretty low-key. Yeah. It was a low-key weekend. I stayed home, cleaned up, finished my latest video game.
Oh my God.
You know, all the fun stuff, and hung out with some friends. You know, real friends.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But that's about it. I didn't really get out and, you know, mingle with the gays or anything like that. Oh, girl.
Go on, Pearl.
But that's about it. How was your weekend?
My weekend was actually very active. I did the Divas Royale show on Friday evening, which was fun. I was a little exhausted because I had been up. This past week was the first episode of my other podcast. So now producing two podcasts and doing the work on those, both of those, you know, each week is pretty exhausting. Plus, I've been writing quite a bit for the Huffington Post. So I've been really, really busy in terms of other things. But I did the drag show on last Friday. And then on Saturday morning, I got up and got back in drag. I went over to the Lookout to do the Lips and Lashes show at brunch time with Carne Asada. I was there with Alina Maletti and Kipper Snacks. And we had a good time. I saw Michaela there. I saw Tiny Tees there.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good time. And then that evening, you know, remember last week we were talking about like what a, like a perfect date or whatever would look like?
Well, oh, now you know what a perfect date would look like all of a sudden?
Well,
when I thought a perfect date originally was not fallicable or whatever the fuck you said. Moron.
No, I said it was not. I said it was a fallacy.
Oh, a fallacy.
Because I said a perfect first date when you are meeting off of an app. But this was, besides the fact that this was not really a date, this was my idea of a perfect date because I went with somebody and hung out. We went to see a wrestling show. We went to the All-Pro Wrestling Show. It was his first time ever seeing professional wrestling, which was very interesting, very fun. And then afterwards, we went and got Filipino food in the night and ate. And he brought me home and dropped me off. And it was like super fun. It was my idea of what a perfect date would be like, especially since the fact that it was so selfish of me because I don't think he really cared one way or another about the wrestling. And he kind of didn't like the Filipino food, but he totally put up with it for me on my behalf.
I am so sorry.
I mean,
I would never. Girl, hit the books.
To me, like, that was like, I just thought it was perfect. And of course, it's, you know, I had a really good time with him. He had a really nice time too. It just wasn't a date.
Let's hope so.
It just was.
Otherwise, Jesus.
Well, I mean, yeah, we hang out all the time, so I don't think he's like holding it against me. Anyway,
a strong person.
It is. Like, that's exactly why it would be a perfect date, because I'm like, you are a strong individual putting up with all that.
Right.
So, that's what I need. But, so, it was really funny. I mentioned this, I'll be talking about it a little bit more during one of the interviews that's going to be on my wrestling podcast, but it was so funny, because we're at wrestling, right? And you would not necessarily expect wrestling to be really conducive to, like, two gay guys being there.
Yeah.
But it actually pretty much is. It's like I don't experience anything stupid at these things, really, anytime I've ever gone.
But you're also, you know, you're also very, you can kind of blend with with maybe, a straight crowd.
Maybe. I mean, I was wearing, like, camo pants and a black t-shirt and, a running jacket or something that night. So, like, I wasn't there in my full garb. But the point being that, so we're there, and there's a wrestler named Joey Ryan who we've had on the podcast before. Joey Ryan is pretty amazing, and his gimmick, which is what they refer to, like, the character that they play, or, like, this, you know, like, the personality they portray, his gimmick is that he's got, like, this bionic penis. It's, like, super strong and powerful.
Oh, I think I've seen memes of this guy.
Right, well,
he throws people with his penis.
So, anyway, so he was in a wrestling match, which was really, it was kind of cool, because he was wrestling against Luke Perry's son. Like, Luke Perry from 90210.
Okay.
The original 90210. Anyway, his son is a professional wrestler who goes by the name Jungle Boy. And they're wrestling, and Jungle Boy plays this Tarzan character who doesn't, like, sort of understand the world. And so they're wrestling, and Joey is trying to make Jungle Boy touch his crotch. Because, you know, if you touch if you touch his crotch, then it can, like, beat you up or whatever. So, anyway, so we're sitting there, and Mono, my friend that I took with me, Mono is, like, watching the, and he's like, why is he making him, like, trying to make him touch his dick? You know, like, when I'm like, I was like, oh, it's a, like a sort of, it's a thing. And then the crowd starts chanting, touch his penis, touch touch his penis. And so he was like, what in the hell is going on here? And I said, yep, that's, this is it. Like, this is it. This is what's going on here, boo. So we had I think he had a good time. He enjoyed it. It was like something completely new to him. And if it had been like a romantic situation, it would have been really nice, because we went all the way over to Pacifica. Pacifica is like 10-minute drive from San Francisco, you guys. It's right on the ocean. It's this total beautiful little beach town. And it was like, we could hear the ocean, and the moon was gorgeous, and we saw wrestling, and we were just hanging out. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, fuck, he doesn't listen to this shit anyway. So, like, if it had been a date, I would have been okay with it. I would have been okay with it being a date. We, like, we hang out all the time, and he's adorable and, like, really sweet, and I enjoy being around him. So, if it was a date, I would not have objected. But it was really fucking awkward, because yesterday we had lunch with my sister Becky Motor Lodge, and she was like, so are you two dating or what?
Oh,
it was so awkward.
But why,
like,
is that awkward? Because you're not.
Because we're not. But it's just like, it's awkward because people have asked more than once if we are. And it just makes it, like, a little uncomfortable. You know how it is. Like, I've never actually talked to him about the fact that I'm, like, I find him really attractive. I mean, I'm, we talked about this in the past in a brief way, in a, like, an overview way. Like, it's not appropriate right now for that thought to even enter the picture, like, or that discussion to even enter the picture. Not that I think he's interested, but it wouldn't be appropriate even if he was right now, at this moment. The fact is that, you know how it gets awkward when people around you start to question if you're dating or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I think it can make situations awkward and friendships awkward.
No. Someone else's opinion of me and somebody and what we're doing is not going to affect my relationship with them. It's not.
Right. I mean,
and if you do let that affect your relationship, that's pretty weak.
Yeah, but I have known people who kind of get weirded out by that, and I, you know, like, and I don't want to.
Then that's that person's problem.
Right, but at the same time, I, like, value the relationship, so I would rather not have anything that's going to, like, upset the apple cart, sort of thing.
If something like that is going to upset him, then, girl, that's not the person you want to be around to begin with.
Right, I mean, I do understand that.
I mean, we're all grown-ups here.
Right, right.
Y'all are extra grown-ups. I mean,
not extra grown-ups, bitch. I mean, rude.
You know.
He's only a few years older than you are.
Well, you are, girl.
I am what?
Damn near expired.
Not expired.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's time to grow up if you haven't already. And let that shit go, girl. It is what it is.
Yeah, I just still think it's awkward. It's not as awkward as when...
I think it's really, like, it's awkward that someone, like, who doesn't know if you guys are dating would straight up ask the two of you, like, so...
Right in front of both of us?
Right, like, it's, like, girl, where is your, like...
Well, I get it.
Where's your common decency, girl?
Well, it's Becky, girl. You know that she ain't got her common sense
about
her sometimes.
Becky, get it together, bitch.
I love
you. You the same age as Poyo, if not older. Girl.
No, she's a little bit younger than I am.
Well,
anyway, I love my sister Becky, but sometimes you know she's just right to the point and don't got no kind of sense.
Her social game might not be there.
What was I gonna? I was gonna say something. Oh, it's not as awkward as when my BFF Shigella's aunt saw, like, her aunt who's like some old ass lesbian. She's like 70-year-old lesbian. Saw pictures of us several times together on Facebook, and she was like, "So, Jack, is that your lover?"
Oh my god!
And Jack was like, "Oh my god!" Shaq's like, "Oh my god, no, no, stop!" And she's like, "It's okay, Jackie. You can tell me if it's your lover."
See, I mean, I'm sure you've gotten that with Shaq just as much.
I don't think so at all. I think that the reason that Jack and I don't get that is because
you guys are both white.
Most of the people who we hang around with, A, have known us for like 10 years and know that we're like BFFs. And also because of the fact that me more than him have like what people outwardly would consider a type. Like he definitely has a type too. But people don't know what it is as much as they know what mine is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we never really get that. We'd probably get some kind of sibling bullshit before we get dating. I mean,
you guys do not look alike.
No, I don't think so at all. But no, we don't. But what I'm saying is, like, the relationship would be perceived as sibling before dating. So,
yeah. Anyway.
Whatever. So, yeah.
So you guys,
I had a fucking great time with him, and then I feel like I'm missing some other shit, like a lot of stuff. Oh, one thing that I
feel like me and the listeners need to set up Poyo on a blind date with
girl,
someone
she's
like her own age, you know, someone kind of in her own social bracket.
I mean,
someone, you know,
the emphasis better be on the blind, because once he sees what he's getting, he's gonna fucking dodge.
He might,
gonna,
oh, bilp, you know, bolt. You
so,
know.
One thing that I have to talk about on the podcast, and I want everybody to know, if you haven't seen it yet, I posted it on my YouTube channel, but I did a video response to the upcoming Pink album. Pink's 7th studio album, Beautiful Trauma, comes out this Friday the 13th, and I got an advanced copy of it. It is so fucking good, you guys. I wanted to do a video response of it, so the other night, I came home, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna do this video response, I'll get in drag, and whatever, and then I got home, and I was like, I'm tired, and next thing you know, it was like midnight, and I'm sitting here fucking putting on makeup at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up being up until 6 a.m. working on this video, but I posted it. It's gotten like 1,300 views in like 24 hours.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty bomb, but I love the album. You guys, I'm writing an article for the Huffington Post, a review of it. That'll post probably before this podcast posts. But 100%, I am a huge Pink fan, and I think it's her best album ever. And I also believe that one of the tracks on it is called You Get My Love, and I think that it's her best song ever.
Uh-huh.
It's not something you would expect from her. It sounds almost like an Adele ballad, almost, but it's so powerful, it's so emotional, and God knows that Pink has the voice to carry a song like that. You know what I mean? Her voice is sickening, but so incredible, and if you have not checked out the YouTube response to it, you can get all the details of the album on my YouTube, but otherwise, just pre-order the album, y'all. Pre-order it. It comes out on Friday. Do it. It's amazing. I love it. And I think that if you are familiar with her last album, The Truth About Love, you will also love this record. Plus, the big thing relating to LGBT people on this record is that there's a song called Wild Hearts Cannot Be Broken. And in it, she basically talks about how she feels compelled to stand up for what's right in the world. And we all know that she's a huge supporter of the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
She is very outspoken about that. I just saw on her Twitter last night, somebody was telling her that, like, she should leave politics out of this and just, like, perform and sing, and like she should be probably be silent. And she responded to the person, totally slammed him, and was like, I don't want to be silent. The person was like, you should follow the lead from Oprah and I don't know, some other people who are stay silent on politics. And she responded back and said, I don't want to be silent. And then she responded again and said, and you really need to do some research because they don't stay silent either.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, clearly they don't stay silent. I mean, Oprah endorses political candidates and shit.
Right.
Like, give me a fucking break. So.
Get it together.
Yeah, really get it together. Regardless, the album is amazing. So definitely go check that out. And if you're a fan of Eminem, they have a duet on it as well. And girl, I got like 100 followers from Eminem fans just because I was giving them information about the song because they've been aching to know about it. So.
I'm surprised that man is still around.
Really?
I thought he died at one point in
Eminem?
That.
You thought he died?
Yes, girl.
Well, he didn't. He did not die. He's on the new album. And I think that it's an interesting thing because he's the only featured artist on the whole album. Mm-hmm. Like, 13 songs, he's the only featured artist, which, in this day and age, one featured artist on an album is pretty unheard of. Like, her last one had several featured artists on it. The last one had Eminem on a track, it had Nate Ruess on a track, it had Lily Allen on a track. So, this one's a situation where she's just front and center. The album's, oh my god, raving, can't stop raving. It's so good. Speaking of new albums and things that I'm raving about, it's possible that I mentioned this in the past, but Kelly Clarkson has a new album coming out very soon. The first real single off of it was The Meaning of Life. The album's called Meaning of Life. One of the first tracks was called Move You, but the song that I am obsessed with
obsessed with Love So Soft.
Love So Soft, yes. Love So Soft is...
I've had that song on repeat for days as soon as that song came out.
Yes, Love So
and
Soft.
And I'm not even like a Kelly Clarkson fan like that. There's a few songs of hers that I like, but I was never like, you know, a diehard fan. But I was like, all right, Kelly.
Kelly Clarkson's Love So Soft is amazing. Obsessed with it. Have you noticed at the beginning of that song sounds like Greedy by Ariana Grande?
Yes, it does.
It does. Like the first time I heard it, I was like, this sound. And then I was like, oh, it sounds like Greedy by Ariana Grande. Every kiss is a door. Can I knock on yours? Can we knock a little more? Anyway, the song...
And that's not the first time where she's had music that sounds a lot like other people. Like,
right. Do you
she
remember...
She had another song that sounded just like Beyonce's Halo.
Right. That, the, there was
I
the...
I think it was... Was it Unforgettable or Unforgivable? Something like that.
There was the Halo and other Kelly Clarkson controversy. Honestly, though... When all of that information came out, when the details about how that happened came out, Kelly Clarkson was getting slammed for it. And then Kelly was like, hold up a minute. Let me tell you how this industry works. I went to a music producer who made this music for me. I had no idea because this song was in production, like not on the market at the same time that Beyonce's Halo was on the market. The same person produced both songs, which was Ryan Tedder from One Republic. And then when both songs came out, when Halo came out, Kelly Clarkson was like, I don't want to put this song out. And her record label was like, well, we paid a lot of money. This was supposed to be your big single off of this. So she kind of didn't have a lot of choice in the matter. And then she was not happy about it once the bullshit happened. But Love So Soft is bomb AF. And I don't think that Love So Soft necessarily overall sounds like Greedy. It's just the opening portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it's done in like 5, like 10 seconds. But that song is amazing. And guess what, you guys? We will be having Kelly Clarkson later this episode. Yes!
So keep
woo! Yes, bitch.
On, girl.
Yes, bitch. I cannot wait. My friends at the Carpel Group contacted me today and were like, hey, would you be interested? Or actually, they knew I'd be interested because I've been obsessed with her for like 5 years since they've been representing her. And I was like... I told them, I'm like, if there's any chance, well, they contacted me today and said, would you be available tomorrow between like 2 and 3 o'clock? We're not sure when we can lock her in, but we can get you on the phone with Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I called them and I was like, oh my God, if I had a job, I would totally quit it just to make this interview happen. If I was on my deathbed, I would sit up, do the interview and then die a happy person.
Such a mess.
I, that's, I, I was like, girl, I'm not leaving this up for debate, bitch. I'm not letting them like, oh, we didn't get your email. Girl, I'm going to send them a fucking smoke signal right after we record this podcast. They are going to know. And one of the things that I will say about this new Kelly Clarkson video for Love So Soft, she has definitely put on a significant amount of weight during her career. We've known that her weight has been up and down. She's at the top of her spectrum for her weight gain in this video. But what I can tell you is she's owning her weight. She looks stunning. She looks gorgeous. She's just like, you know, it's one of those things where some artists, if they gain weight, like try to do random stuff where you can't really tell or like back in the day, there was this huge controversy because Paula Abdul had put on a lot of weight and they made a video where they stretched her out and she like, so that she didn't look as thick as she really was.
Oh, wow.
And it was, they parodied it on In Living Color one time. Like,
oh, wow.
The song that the video was for was called Promise of a New Day. And they parodied it as Promise of a Thin Me.
Oh my God.
It was fucking horrifying. But Kelly Clarkson owns it. She's a new mom. She's happily married. Presumably her husband probably is like...
That's probably what it is, girl.
He probably is
that
like...
I love weight.
Yeah, and he's... And I bet it, you know...
That happened to Rihanna too, girl. She picked up a little bit of weight.
Girl, every time somebody gets in a relationship and gets all happy and shit, like, most of the time, they put on some weight. And she's had a baby, and she's been married a few years, and. And she said that she's always had an issue with her weight anyway, so it's just one of those things that happens. Girl, you own it, bitch. If I had a voice like that, I wouldn't give a damn. Her voice is so good.
Girl, if I had a bank account like that, I wouldn't give a damn. So.
Exactly right. So... And I just have to say that, like, in addition to the fact that I love Kelly Clarkson... Oh, fuck! In addition to the fact that I love Kelly Clarkson, I love the fact that she is married to Reba McEntire's son. And
why
do I love that? Yeah. Because I love Reba McEntire, and so I love the fact that they have this Hollywood family and everything, and that Kelly and Reba recorded a cover of Because of You together, and... I just love that. I don't know why. I just love it. I like Kelly Clarkson. I love Reba McEntire. I think that Reba McEntire is so bomb. I would love to interview her, too. So, anyway, we are going to have Kelly Clarkson on later this episode. Girl, if you had told me a few years ago when we started this, like a year and a half ago, that we were going to start getting these amazing, amazing interviews and stuff, I would have been like, that's not going to happen. I mean, we started off getting really good interviews from Go, but... Still, like, it just seems like everything is getting better and better, so...
As it should. And all thanks to you guys who sit here and listen to us sit here and banter about...
Yes.
All of it.
Thank you guys so much. Oh, you know what? I want to, I got this tweet today. Speaking of people who listen to us banter, I got a tweet today from one of the listeners who said that she has listened to our Patricia Arquette interview 3 times. So, in its entirety. And I want to read this tweet. She wrote a letter to the podcast about this, and I want to read it just so you guys. So, this is from listener Ann Menick Andresen. Ann, I'm probably destroying
her
name.
Yeah,
girl, it's just... Ann Menick Andresen. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. So, it says, a thank you. During the past week, I've listened to this whole podcast interview at least 3 times. While I was fixing the drains and pipes in my bathroom. I know, sexy, right? That's what she wrote. I said it before about the interview, but I think it's worth repeating. It's rare these days to hear an interviewer and a guest being so attentive and really listening to each other. What an absolute pleasure to hear you two intelligent, brilliantly honest, daring, fierce, and profound people. I went through what I call a coral reef of emotions listening to you. Patricia, I felt I got to know you a bit better and why you are a beautiful human being. Because honestly, it's been a long time since I only thought of and knew you as Patricia Arquette, the celebrity. To me, you are Patricia Arquette, the human being. So thank you for not being afraid to open up and talk about your family, yourself, and the way you see the world. To sum things up, all the things you two talked about, that's what courage looks like and is to me. My hope is that this is not the last interview you two do together. Thank you to you both, and for making my bathroom fixing experience a lot less shitty.
So cute. Thanks, Anne.
I think that's so wonderful. I would never expect our listeners to, like, that's like fan mail. So thank you, Anne, for listening and chiming in and sending us that sweet message. Is very, very much appreciated. And to all the people who listen to our Patricia Arquette interview out there, we really do appreciate it. We remain the number one LGBTQ podcast on Podomatic for months at a time because of you. And it's not because we don't have competition. There's stiff competition out there for us.
Right. It's just Sister Indica.
Sister Indica and Sister Bang Bang and, like, a lot of other people. So it's very much appreciated that you guys support us on a weekly basis. In case you are not already, follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
At Party Foul Radio, you guys.
At Party Foul Radio. That'll allow you to keep up to date. Make sure that you get all of our tweets as well as our interviews and episodes of the show. If you haven't already also downloaded the Podomatic app, it's available on iOS as well as iPhone. Just download it. It's very, very easy and it's completely free. Download it to your phone and then you can subscribe to our podcast and it will send you an email notification when we're online with a new episode. So it makes things really, really easy. So we are going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Party Foul Radio right after this. Hey, love so soft, you ain't had nothing softer.
Break it, then you buy it, and it's sure gonna cost you. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson. I'm hanging out with Party Foul Radio. You gon' love it if you try it.
Got your hook, now you're caught up. Each and every episode of Party Foul Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, Daddy's Barbershop. Located at 4102 19th Street in the Castro, Daddy's Barbershop was voted San Francisco's favorite barbershop in the 2017 Bestie Awards. Go visit Arlen, Jesse, and all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop. Daddy's Barbershop is a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio. And we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Poya Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
Oh, making headlines all over the United States is something that's happening really close by locally, putting a lot of our
friends...
Right
outside of our neighborhood, you guys.
Yes. Putting a lot of our friends in San Francisco's North Bay area at real risk and jeopardy and in harm's way. There are, right now...
Approximately 15 dead, girl.
Yes, there are 15 confirmed dead as forest fires rage throughout Northern California, just up by Santa Rosa, which is... like less than an hour's drive from San Francisco.
Right.
The fires are so humongous that the city is being overcome with smoke. So people are complaining about smoke inhalation and smoke in the environment. It's a really, really horrible situation.
It's awful. I just want a huge shout out to my two close friends, Steve Cannon and Keith Deal, who have lost their entire house.
Oh my God, really?
They've lost their entire house. Luckily, they were able to leave with get their children and their dog out.
Wow.
Which is unfortunate because I know they had a beautiful house. They always had huge projects going on, loads of people coming. I know they have tons of memories made there. I checked their Facebook to make sure they were okay, and tons of people were posting pictures of them at their house, and they just posted a picture today, actually, of... what their house looks like now, and it's
just in ruins.
Gone. It's gone. So it's definitely affecting people that are out here. If you know anyone in the North Bay, you should definitely check on them. I read in headlines this morning that some people are not staying at the evacuation sites because they feel more comfortable in their cars.
Oh my God, they have some serious PTSD. They're like, we might have to drive up out of here quick.
Right. Yeah. I heard that. It also might just be more comfortable.
Well, there are two major fire areas. There's multiple fires blazing, but the two primary biggest sites are known as the Tubbs Fire and the Atlas Peak Fire in Napa County. Between, like, each of those have burned 27,000 and 25,000 acres of land, respectively. So that's over 50,000 acres of land just between the two that have burnt. Multiple million-dollar homes are gone, and 15 lives have been lost. One of the lives that I read about was an elderly woman who was blind.
And hard of hearing.
And hard of hearing.
I've definitely read about that too. And she died right in her driveway.
Oh my God.
So awful.
I mean.
It's awful. They haven't started putting the fires out yet. Right now, I think their main priority is finding survivors.
They're trying to maintain the fires. It's with a blaze like this, it's really hard to like put it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're talking about so much space to cover, and it's just very difficult to fight a blaze like this. You know what I mean? It's just almost impossible. And I remember what this reminded me of is there was one night a number of years ago. So in the San Francisco Bay Area, for those who are not locals, or perhaps even for locals who are and don't know details, in the San Francisco Bay Area, there are multiple small islands, but the largest of the islands is known as Angel Island. It's very large. It's basically a mountaintop that comes up out of the water. It's generally green and lush and beautiful, and people will go to day trips over there on ferries and things of that nature to have picnics and hike and play on the beach and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Well, a number of years ago, a lightning strike on the side of Angel Island caused half of the island basically to burn, in a forest fire. Fortunately, Angel Island is not heavily populated. There's very few structures on the island that could be burnt down or whatever, but it was incredible because, you know, it's very strange to see an island on fire. You know what I mean? And so I can only imagine what it must be like in this kind of a situation where people like are living in the middle of this beautiful area and all of a sudden everything is on fire around you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where my family lives in Florida is in the middle of a national forest, Ocala National Forest, probably in the mid to late 80s, something similar happened there. There was a forest fire. By no means was it as massive as what is happening up in Napa and Sonoma counties, but a huge section of the forest between where my family lived and the main town where my mom lives burnt to the ground, basically. What I remember about that is that it took the better part of 20 years for a lot of that vegetation to come back. It was so strange because you'd be going through this area where the trees would be huge and full grown and very tall, and then you would come to this area where it was nothing but like shrubs for miles, because everything else that was, you know, every now and then you would see a tree that survived, but for the most part, just shrubs and plants, like, you know, grasses and stuff like that. And now it's many, many years later and it's regrown to like full size for the most part. But it was just so, I remember always feeling like when I was driving through there, you could like sort of feel the death in that area. You know what I mean? Because everything around it was like sort of kind of dead. This is so, so tragic.
I hope most people up there have homeowners insurance, if not some kind of insurance, just to help them, like, get on their feet. And if you do have insurance and you're listening and you're from out there, you should definitely check your insurance now, because I know some insurance will cover for you a place to stay right now and your food right now, as far as you not having access to what was once yours.
Unbelievable. I mean, and even if you have homeowner's insurance and it's going to physically replace your belongings and whatnot, and presumably most of the people who live up there, this is a more well-to-do, it's a more wealthy area of Northern California. Many of the houses and structures that are being, you know, lost are multi-million dollar homes and whatnot, which in San Francisco Bay Area, having a million dollar home is like a shack, but nonetheless... Still, these are places that are generally pretty nice. Presumably, these people have taken all the necessary precautions to be prepared in case something like this happens. Yet, you can't replace the memories. You can't replace, you know, no kind of money is going to make up for the kind of trauma that you feel losing everything. There is like something definitely to be said. My heart really goes out to these people. Oh. It's devastating. Yeah, very, very, very upsetting news. And God love her. My daughter, Brianna Cracker, lives up there. My drag daughter, Brianna Cracker, lives up there.
Oh my gosh, have you checked on her?
She's okay. Her Facebook status says she's okay and whatnot. But she's above the area where that's on fire, I guess.
Okay.
And she's got this rather large home up there. And she posted on Facebook, like, if you're in the area and you need a place to stay or you know anybody who needs a place to stay, just let me know. You're more than welcome to come here and stay with us. And
okay.
I mean, I think that situations like this, we always, the first thing we focus on is how horrible it is. But ideally, terrible situations can also bring out great elements of humanity and aspects of people's compassion and love for other people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, if you've lost everything, there's...
Everything, girl.
If you've lost everything, then there's hopefully people who will open their homes to you, open their hearts to you, open their pocketbooks to you, open their dinner table to you. This shit is...
Girl, just more doom and gloom.
Yep, it's a very depressing time.
I just... San Francisco, please be safe.
Exactly.
Shit.
On a bright note, on a positive note, I like to introduce some good news occasionally. Our longtime friend of the show, Miss Bibi Sweetbriar, as well as Bougie Meshishida, and I'm sure I murdered his last name, DJ Bougie.
Come on, DJ Bougie.
And my friend William Ducati Brown. Bougie and William together are known as Knife and Fork Productions. The three of them have collaborated on a new song called Unity. We mentioned it a while back. Pearl said that she feels like it's one of BB's best songs.
Oh, that's right.
Remember when it first came out, we talked about it? Well, apparently people are agreeing because congratulations to BB Sweetbriar, Knife and Fork Productions. Their song Unity just jumped up to number 25 on Billboard's Hot Dance Club Play charts. So we are looking to have Bibi Sweetbriar on next episode with us.
Y'all are gonna live.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because somebody commented, you know, I posted something like on Bibi's page. I screen capped the chart thing and posted it on her Facebook page and said, congratulations, I'm so proud of my sister for all her success and whatever. And somebody privately said to me, like, are you really happy for her? Because, you know, like, are you really happy for her? And I was like, what do you mean am I really happy for her? Of course I'm really happy for her. And then I think that their implication was they thought I would be jealous of her success or something like that.
Who is this?
It doesn't matter.
It's I want to know.
It's fucking, it was Petty LaBelle. Some who? Petty, I said no. Petty LaBelle. Some fucking petty bitch.
I like, don't know who it was, girl.
It was Peppermint Petty. Like, she was, you know, it was somebody who, my response was so simple. I said, yes, I'm very happy for her, legitimately, seriously, sincerely happy for her. And if you don't understand why a person would be happy to see their friend living a lifelong dream,
right,
then you have a very different understanding of what friendship is than I have. Right. Like, I want my girlfriends to do well. I've never really felt like one person's success takes away from somebody else's opportunities.
Right.
I don't believe that. It's just like we all the time, like we just did it. We mentioned Sister Indica in the Joy Bomb podcast on our show. Girl, get your fucking life. Get out there and do what you want to do and live your best life and you enjoy yourself. And this is a dream for BB and Bougie and William. You know what I mean? They wanted to do music and BB.
And girl, they're doing it.
And they are doing it. And if people can't be happy for that, there's something really wrong with that.
I don't really understand.
I don't understand it either. It's like, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's one of those things where we see it in the drag community all the time. Sometimes you see it between the drag queens themselves. They're like tearing each other down because one girl's having success and they're like jealous of it. Or you see it between people who are sort of like adjacent to the drag community. Like, oh, well, did you see that so-and-so got a new show at some... Well, good for her, honey. Like, right. I mean, when I see a bitch out there fucking breaking her neck and, like, busting her ass to, like, have success and do good things for herself, bitch, I applaud that because it doesn't keep me from doing what I want to do. If I want to do something, I sure as fuck get out there and do it my damn self, too. Like, every single person has... There's so much success to be had in the world. There's so many opportunities and things for people to do and ways that people can express themselves. Like, no, honey, I've never understood it. Like, people who are other drag performers, they don't impact my ability to have success.
Right.
People who are other journalists don't impact my ability to have success because I do my own thing.
Right.
people who have podcasts don't impact our success.
Yeah.
Like, presumably, in the best world, like, somebody who loves podcasts, we could be like, well, girl, if you... We're only 2 hours of your week, bitch. If you want to listen to other podcasts...
Do it.
Go listen to Joy Bomb. Go listen to Sister Indica. Go listen to Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang Ladesh from the UK. Go listen to whatever, you know? Like, there's a lot of time and opportunity for people to have success and gain audiences. And this isn't an if-then-then-not-that type of thing. Yeah. It's not a one or the other. It's not black or white. Girl, I don't understand it. But when that person was like, are you being serious? I was like... What do you mean?
Why wouldn't
I be serious? Like, why wouldn't I be serious and support what BB's doing? Bitch, BB, I am so proud of you. As soon as I saw her break onto the charts, I screen capped it that day and sent it to her. I was like, bitch, look at you. You better go.
Right.
And every week now I'm checking the chart. And I have to say this. My girlfriend, Kwanzaa Jones, is back on the dance charts too. She's up to number 31 with her song, Summer Forever. To see multiple of my friends on the dance charts all at the same time makes me extremely happy, girl. So y'all just better live your best lives. Oh, and Kim Sims is on there too, girl.
Yeah, Kim Sims too, girl.
I mean, we are just surrounded. That reminded me.
You swallowed your fucking thing.
Girl. Just today, speaking of successful dance artists, just today, you guys know we've had Gypsta on the show, remember?
Yeah.
We've had Gypsta.
I liked him.
Yes. Great. Great interview. Great guy. Fun performer. Go check him out. J-I-P-S-T-A. Well, Gypsta and I have a song on DJ Ranny and Gypsta's album together. It's called Last Night. And I just got confirmation today that Ranny, Gypsta, and I are going to be performing together on New Year's Eve at Honey Pot. A huge party in Tampa, Florida.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to Florida, girl.
Girl, I'm going to Florida, bitch.
Wait, aren't you from there?
Uh-huh. My family lives just like 90 minutes north of there.
Have you ever thought about moving back?
No. Not really, Pearl. So, anyway, I'm super stoked about that. We are going to put together the whole performance thing. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be our first time ever performing it live and to all of us three being in the same place at the same time together. Uh-huh. And we're looking to film a music video while we're there.
So you're going to sing live?
Uh-huh. I don't sing. I rap.
Oh, you rap?
Yes.
Oh, Poyo raps, you guys. This is news to me.
I'm a recording artist, too. Have you never heard my songs?
How embarrassing?
My song, no. How embarrassing? How embarrassing? I'd rule the world. A woman's got the power. Last Night with Gypsta and Ranny.
Can't forget White Lady Problems.
White Lady Problems with Matt Consola and Leo Frappier. And let's not forget Made You Look with my girlfriend Kwanzaa Jones that we just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sickening, girl.
So, and more to come, bitch. More to come. I promise you that. I've got multiple songs I'm working on.
Boy,
I
better live her best life.
I'm living my best life while doing my worst rap, bitch. Yes. That's what it's about, hunty. Yes. So.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited for, well, I guess it's not a real holiday, but the holidays, but also Halloween coming up.
Halloween is coming up, and do you have big plans for Halloween?
I'm pretty sure I'll be over at HSF, but I will be cosplaying all over again.
Come on, cosplay!
You guys know I've been kind of trying to expand my cosplay closet, and...
What are you going to be doing?
What's
your new cosplay?
My new cosplay, okay, I guess I could just tell you guys. I mean, if I just keep it a secret, it's not really...
It's one thing, like, it's art, so you can tell what it kind of is, but until it's actualized, like, it's not like you're giving it away, you know what I mean?
I guess so, but I always love that element of the surprise.
Yes.
You know?
She wants it to be a big reveal. Everything's a big reveal.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna keep it that way. Do you know what you're doing for Halloween?
I do know what I'm doing for Halloween. I'm actually not going to be in the area. I am going on a weekend getaway.
A weekend getaway, you guys.
My BFF, Shigella, and I are going on a spiritual retreat together.
A spiritual retreat.
Yes, bitch. Lovely. It's going to be fun. It's actually MGM Grand is going to be going with us. And
oh, my God.
So it's going to be a good time, girl. It's going to be fun. So it, yeah, we're going to get away for the weekend. You know, something I do want to mention. This is totally unrelated to anything. But while we're recording this, I keep sitting here and I'm refreshing my email like 100 times today. Because today, while we're recording, you'll hear this on October 11th or later, but we're recording it on October 10th. And October 10th is the day when I was told that the announcements would be made for that...
The award thing.
Mm-hmm. Some of you might remember that a while back, I was pre-nominated for the Australian LGBTI Awards. It's going to be happening March 2nd, Down Under. I believe it's in Sydney. It's a huge event. Last year, Lucy Lawless was there, and she collected a big award. And, they have told me that the way it works, you guys, I guess, is that people get nominated by the public. Then the committee goes to the individual nominees. We all submit information, and then like a set group of people. It's sort of like the Oscars. When people are put up for nomination, then like it gets narrowed down to whatever the number is that ultimately go on to the Oscars. Uh-huh. And then one winner is chosen. Well, today is the day that they said that they were going to announce this. And on top of that, today is already tomorrow in Australia. Uh-huh. Because they're 18 hours ahead of us. So I'm like checking and checking obsessively to see if they sent me an email, and I've been checking their Twitter, I've been checking their damn website. And the only thing that makes me feel better is that, like, ideally they would even send me a letter that would be like, I'm sorry, you haven't been selected, or whatever. But so far, I found no information about any of these people. Like, there's no information, no news is good news so far, but I am still checking my damn emails absolutely incessantly. Here it is. It's Friday, the 2nd of March, 2018, the Star Events Center. It's a black tie affair for the 2018 LGBTI Awards, Australian LGBTI Awards.
Ooh, I love it.
It's been called the Gay Oscars.
I would love to go to the Gay Oscars.
Of Australia. And so I don't want to count my chickens before they're hatched at all, you guys. But I do want to be kind of prepared. So if, in fact, I get a nomination, if this nomination actually happens, I reached out to one of our sponsors, Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants. Every year, Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants and Ellen Friedman from Swiss Navy goes to Australia for the Gay Mardi Gras, which is the same weekend, which is their huge, like, national gay pride type event.
Okay.
It's the same weekend. And so I reached out to Ellen and I said, hey, like, I might be nominated for this award, which is happening that weekend. If I am nominated, would Swiss Navy consider possibly somehow
taking you out there,
sponsoring me and taking me with you, like letting me work for the week or whatever to sort of earn my keep, but I would get to be there as an ambassador and actually attend the event thing.
Yeah.
So Ellen is currently working in Germany. Girl, I envy you, bitch, because she's all over the world with that lube, honey. They right. like,
girl, she is slipping all over the world.
She is slipping and sliding from continent to continent, hinty.
Better do it.
So Ellen, at Swiss Navy, girl, I want your job, honey. But it would be really fucking cool if Swiss Navy, as both a sponsor of the show and if they could find some capacity where I could earn my keep, you know what I mean? Make it worth their while. Plus, I would be there at this award ceremony representing Swiss Navy in some capacity. That would be so badass. I mean, I know that Sister Roma and Shishi LaRue and other people went for Swiss Navy last year. So I know I'm not the high profile like Sister Roma or Shishi LaRue, but I would love to go on down there. So keep that in mind, Swiss Navy. Keep that in mind, Ellen Friedman. And I don't know who he is, but he's so cute, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, Xena.
Yes, it is. Miss Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless is the winner of... Wait. She was the winner of the 2017 Ally Award. And...
I love Lucy Lawless.
Who's Ruby Rose? Do you know who Ruby Rose is? She, like...
That's her?
No, it's not her.
Ruby Rose is the... She started off as a very androgynous model.
Oh, that's right.
And she ended up on Orange is the New Black and a lot of other movies
and stuff. She's the one
beautiful,
who...
Beautiful, beautiful girl.
She Ruby Rose won the 2017 LGBTI Celebrity Award, and Lisa from the Veronicas, the group the Veronicas,
yeah,
collected the award on her behalf. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to hearing from them. Girl, I just can't stop checking my Twitter, and I can't stop checking, like, my email. So, whew, I'm like, fingers crossed, Punty, fingers crossed.
Well.
Maybe it went to my spam.
Girl, or maybe they just haven't sent it to you.
Maybe they haven't sent it yet. Nope. They haven't sent it yet. So.
Well, you guys keep your fingers crossed out there for Miss Poyo.
And, if you live in Australia, once the nominations are open to the public, like, once their nominations are made public, then it begins a process of voting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you live in Australia and you listen to the podcast, please be advised that I'm going to be imploring you over the coming months, if I should get this nomination, to vote for me.
Right.
I don't want to be blown completely out of the water. I at least need 2 or 3 votes.
I would live.
If I got blown out of the water?
No, I mean, if you made it, girl.
Oh, my God. It would be incredible. Like, it just the thought that this podcast reaches people around the world still blows me away. Knowing that we get hundreds of listeners each episode in Australia, thousands of listeners throughout Africa, hundreds and, like, around, I mean, just thousands from around the world is so amazing to me.
It really is.
We're just sitting here in the studio, aka my living room, just talking to you guys and about randomness and bullshit. And the thought that you guys actually tune in and listen is pretty incredible. So, all right, you guys, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll have more Party Foul Radio for you right after this.
Hi, it's Rob Matthews, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio.
GuideToGay.com is Australia's premier LGBTQ website. For all the information about what's going on down under, visit GuideToGay.com. GuideToGay.com for all of your travel, news, entertainment, and celebrity features happening in Australia. GuideToGay.com is a proud media sponsor of Party Foul Radio. And we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I am your co-host, Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
Pearl, did you read this report on TMZ about a season 10 cast member of RuPaul's Drag Race?
Say that again?
TMZ reported on a controversy surrounding a member of the Season 10 RuPaul's Drag Race cast.
No.
So the headline reads, RuPaul's Drag Race contestant defies DUI judge. This is the article, you guys. It was reported on the 6th of October, so just a couple days ago. An upcoming RuPaul's Drag Race contestant is thumbing his nose at the judge in his DUI case by going to work in Los Angeles, TMZ has learned. Sources tell TMZ that Andrew Bryson, whose drag name is Blair St. Clair, is currently taping in Los Angeles as a contestant on Season 10 of Drag Race. That fact is in clear violation of a court order stating that Bryson, Blair St. Clair, must stay in Indiana following a DUI bust earlier this year. According to documents obtained by TMZ, St. Clair was pulled over in March in Fort Wayne, Indiana. By the way, I've been to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and what the fuck would anybody be doing there by choice? And blew a .195, more than twice the legal drinking limit. The TMZ checked out the judge's order banning his out-of-state travel, and it is still in place. Meaning that going to Los Angeles to film Drag Race could end him up in jail. It says in this article, it's a catch-22 for Blair because winning the show could unlock a showbiz career, but doing the show at all could land his ass in a jail cell. They called, apparently, VH1 the new home of Drag Race, and they got no response back. But, girl...
That's deep, girl. I would do it.
I mean, it's one of those things you figure to yourself, okay, well, I'll go and I'll film... Then yeah. I'll come home and I'll get arrested, but by the time they announce the cast, I should be out of jail.
Right.
But I'm a little bit surprised that getting a DUI doesn't allow you to travel. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I've never been on parole or
yeah, me neither.
Anything like that.
Me neither, girl.
But I mean, that's some pretty intense stuff. I'm wondering if, like...
Well, I know that once you have a DUI, like, you can't get into certain places. Like, Canada, I know you have a hard time getting into if you have a DUI. And
I don't know. Well, I didn't know. I think that... I thought that Canada might... I thought it was for felonies. I don't know.
Like, definitely a DUI.
So, I don't know that. But, you know, it's interesting because... Do you remember, like, a few seasons back, what was her name? The chick who was, like, on one episode. She was the very first episode. And her storyline was, like, oh, I got a DUI. And then...
Of what episode? Of what show?
RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, she was on the first... She went home on the first episode. She was from, like, Miami. What the hell? Was it April Carrion?
She didn't go home the first episode.
April Carrion?
No.
What was the... I'm trying to remember the name of the contestant. Alicia? No, maybe. I don't remember. There was a contestant a few years ago... Who went home and...
Do you know what season she was on?
I'm going to try season 6.
Season 6 was who's winner?
Bianca. I'm trying to remember if... I'm just going to, like... I went to Wikipedia to try to remember. Nope, it was must have been season 5. Let's try season 5. But... No, it was... Season 4 with Latrice was on.
Okay, so season 4.
I'm trying to remember the season 4 contestants. Anyway, and I'm trying to remember the chick's name. Anyway, she went home like right away, and her whole storyline was that basically she had been arrested or something like that. At any rate, I would personally probably do this, but the question that I have is. When you fill out all of that information for RuPaul's Drag Race, they do an extensive friggin' background check.
I'm surprised.
How did they not find out that this bitch has, like, a outstanding whatever? I mean, I would think that... Oh, it was Alyssa Summers from Tampa, Florida. Alyssa Summers went home first and her season, and she had been arrested, and it was, like, a DUI thing, too. But I don't understand how Drag Race would not have found this, because they do an extensive background search for you. And, more so... Girl, you're picking some bitch who's got an outstanding whatever, and there's other people who have got nice little clean records who are submitting their applications. By the way, you guys, I did get a letter of saying, thank you for applying. Please continue to apply in the future. And I was like, well, thank you for fucking nothing. I appreciate you wasting my time. But actually, I really had an enjoyable time filming that whole process and putting together that video for them. But this is, like, quite scandalous, and it's something where I could almost see RuPaul's Drag Race... Like, getting wind of this from TMZ, and right. Then all of a sudden it, like, becomes a storyline, like,
right.
She's doing great, and then they allow her to stay on for, like, an extra 2 episodes or something so that she can become a sudden favorite, and then they're like, Blair St. Clair, please step to the front of the runway. It's come to our attention that you are a booze hound with an outstanding parole violation because you're here to begin with. We cannot have you representing. See ya, bitch!
Bye.
Exactly. It'd be very much like how they remember when they had Willem come to the front. They're like, yeah. Willem,
we've heard you've been cheating, bitch.
Yep. Or
time for you to go. To,
so,
you know. Well.
Anyway, there's part of the mystery solved, you guys. We now apparently know one of the people who was a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race season 10.
Well, two.
Well, yes, we know that we know Eureka O'Hara too. So I had read that there was a second chick whose last name is O'Hara. On the show as
was
well.
Was it Asia?
Maybe. I don't remember. Yeah. Whatever. They're currently filming right now, you guys, so...
And I don't think any of the queens out here are missing, girl.
Nope. Nobody I can notice is missing.
Yep.
So, pretty sure that we ain't got no representation yet again. But that's fine. Whatever. I guess somebody needs to get a criminal record to get up on there.
You know.
So, I know a couple bitches local who got some criminal records, girl. So
I'm definitely not one of them, bitch.
All right. That is...
With that being said, I know we were talking about fires earlier. I just found out that Anaheim was going through fires also. Did I say 15? Is it 15 or 7,500 acres out there going up in flames? Girl.
Yeah, there's shit going down all over the world. And it's been 3 weeks since the hurricane in Puerto Rico, and 84% of the country is still without power.
Still?
Still without power.
Jesus.
So, Yeah, that is, I mean, things are...
Oh my God, girl, get me off this planet.
The world is just falling apart, guys. Falling apart, falling apart. So, all right, you guys, we are reaching the hour mark in our podcast, and we haven't had one single guest on yet.
Not one.
So let's take you now to a quick little break. And when we come back, we're going to have our incredible interview with superstar Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
And we will be back with more Party Foul Radio right after this. Party Foul Radio is brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine. Left Magazine is San Francisco and Northern California's most beautiful LGBTQ news, entertainment, and lifestyles publication, including all of your favorite celebrity interviews, local party information, and beautiful photo pictorials. Left Magazine is published monthly and can be found at newsstands throughout San Francisco's Castro District. Pick up your copy of Left Magazine today or visit them online at liveleft.com. That's liveleft.com. Welcome back to Party Foul Radio. It is a distinct pleasure at this time to have our next guest on. She is somebody whose career I have followed for years, literally since her first audition for American Idol. And for many artists, winning American Idol is a career peak, but not for Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson has gone on to win multiple Grammy Awards, top Billboard charts, both on the albums as well as singles, and has charted 11 top 10 hits to date. Her new album, Meaning of Life, is going to be coming out on October 28th. And after previewing the album today on National Coming Out Day, I can tell you it is her best album yet. Kelly Clarkson takes full control on this as she jumps from one record label to another. In her new recording home, she has been given ample freedom to actually express herself artistically, and the payoff is great for the listeners. Kelly's first single from the album, Love So Soft, is gorgeous. We talked about it earlier in the show. Pearl and I both adore it. It is an honor and a privilege to have on with us the amazing Kelly Clarkson. Kelly, we are recording you, so just be forewarned.
Yeah, because I say a whole lot of shit. You're not going to remember it. I'm quite a talker.
Talking's good, though.
I agree. I love it.
Honestly, I watched all of American Idol, but from the beginning of your career, I've been captivated by you and your music.
What a great adjective. Thank you. I love to be captivating.
Well, you are captivating.
And oh, thank you.
One thing that I noticed is that stands out to me immediately about Meaning of Life is that you sound so happy with your life right now.
I am, man. I almost feel bad about it. I have the best freaking life. I love my life. My kids are healthy, all four of them. They're happy. My marriage is freaking awesome. I mean, everything's great. I made the best record of my career with, like, a team that's super respectful, which is rare. like, it's... I cannot complain about a thing.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because throughout your career, your struggle to release music, which accurately reflects your own artistic vision, have been, let's say, legendary. I was wondering where Meaning of Life falls on that spectrum of authenticity.
I mean, the thing about Meaning of Life is, I mean, every record I've made, just to lead with this, every record I've made, although there was a ton of compromise, and not necessarily things I wanted to do all the time, I definitely made the best of the situation, still sang my ass off, and still put my best foot forward. So I'm never going to, like, be the loser that's just pouting in the corner about it. I'm always going to try and work it out. But the difference between Meaning of Life and the authenticity of this album specifically is that it is unequivocally, like, 100% me. Like, the only other album I can say that for is my Christmas album. And that's incredibly sad. But at the same time, you know, I'm a grown-ass woman, so, like, you know, I think we all, you know, get put in positions in our lives and our career, lives and our careers where we have to bend and try not to break. So I'm not unique in that sense, but I will say that the thing that makes Meaning of Life 100% authentic is that it is literally from the beginning, the intro of the album, to the very end, Go High. Like, it is completely me. Like, even the deluxe album, like, everything is completely me, and, like, 100%, like, I was stoked about every second on that record. And that has never happened other than my Christmas album. And, you know, because you're given a complete freedom generally on a Christmas album. So, but yeah, no, so it's, and honestly, it's a, so everything, you can look at, like, my previous records, and, I mean, you can hear a suppressed individual, like, all the songs, like, regardless if I wrote them or if I was a vessel for them, I just constantly felt pushed into a box, like, and that's a lot of artists say that, but it's just a very hard thing for an artist to live like that, to ask someone who we just automatically think creatively and emotionally, and to ask them to not be themselves or try or do something else because it's going to make you money or have to compromise because they're going to sit on your record. Like, it's, you know, and then your whole team suffers. Like, then you don't tour and your band suffers. Like, so you just carry all this weight on you just to keep everyone afloat. And it's wearing. It's devastating to somebody, especially who I feel everything, which is so annoying. Like, I had a conversation with Reba years ago, and she was like, man, she's like, you just feel too much. Like, you are 100% in everything. And I'm like, are you not? I was like, wait, what? And she was like, no, she's like, I mean, I am, but, like, she's like, I just, you're like a different type of personality. Like, you take on everything. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to, I would really love to know how not to, like, if there's a class I can take or something, but, you know, it's just, it's just, this record, when you are a creative person, you are a very emotional person in a good way, you know, it's amazing to be a part of a project that is 100% you and, like, 100% your personality, and no one's holding you back. They were supporting you to be you, you know? That's 15 years later, that's my first time experiencing that.
Well, first of all, I'm always gagged that you can say, like, I was talking to Reba because Reba McEntire, of course, being one of my, also my favorite artists.
Oh, she's awesome.
I mean, I know the relationship. I mean, I'm not, but that just kills me. And the second thing that I was thinking about is that we're talking on National Coming Out Day, you know, like, so is it?
Oh, I know, LGBT, I know.
As an LGBT writer and journalist, when you talk about being suppressed, like, the first thing I think about is all of the artists in history who've had to hide their identity to make sure that their music sold or because the record label wanted, you know, that's what came to my mind.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. I mean, even people that aren't gay. I mean, there have been people that are, I mean, even like the Mariahs or Whitneys of the world, you know, they, you know, were suppressed in a certain way. It came out afterwards, you know, and then Mariah ended up going the way she kind of wanted to go. And, you know, and Whitney, it's highly documented that, you know, she felt, you know, suppressed in this box. And she was much more of a fun, you know, personality than this, like, perfect angelic singer that we all were fed. You know what I'm saying? There was much more to her personality than that. And I feel like, you know, when you're told, oh, you can't do this because we want you to, you know, I have other friends in the industry, you know, one of them is a huge writer in Nashville, Shane McAnally. Well, he tried to do his career. He's a phenomenal writer. He's had like a bajillion number ones now. But back in the day when he was someone's assistant, you know, shuffling coffee around because nobody would give him the time of day because he was gay, and you can't make it as a country singer and say, no, you're gay. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it's a little different now and it's changing now. But, you know, over a decade ago, it wasn't that way. So, you know, he had to go about his whole career in a different way, which has worked out for him. He's a phenomenal writer and is doing stuff with Broadway. I mean, he's insane, you know, with all the things he's accomplishing. But it's what's sad about that for me as a friend watching for years is he could have sang all that shit himself. Like, he could have he could have done all that himself. He's a great singer. He's an amazing performer. But it's like, you know, nobody could get past that. And it's a shame. But, you know, I think that happens not just with any select group of people, though. I think that that happens in its own way to a lot of people, because what happens in the music industry is you have the creative world and you have the business world. And the business world generally doesn't really care about the creative world unless that creative world is making them money. So, you know, it's, they want to make whatever, you know, is going to, they're definitely profit over people a lot of times. And artists are way more people over profit. So it's just, you know, it's been happening for ever since the music industry began, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that stands out to me creatively about this album is that starting off very much with the beginning track, which I'm obsessed with Love So Soft. I'm obsessed with it, really. But
oh, good. I love it. It's so fun to sing, man.
Oh, my God. Well, you sound amazing on it. And, by the way, I really think that this is the best record in its entirety of your career, so just so you know.
Oh, God. Thank you. Me too. Thank you.
But I noticed immediately this much more soulful feel on that track and throughout the rest of the album. Like, it's got tinges of blues and soul throughout it that feel a little bit different for me from the stuff where we've known you, where you sound soulful, but it's more rock-oriented, if that makes sense.
Definitely, more pop rock, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was wondering if you could tell me about that shift.
Well, you know what, from Idol, and even from whenever I was a kid and I started singing, you know, I was singing either soulful urban pop or I was singing country, which the bluesy side of country. It's always been innate in me, like the more soulful side of any genre. But I will say, like, you know, an Idol, I think what really shocked a lot of people is I didn't go soulful right off the bat, because all I did was sing Aretha Franklin stuff the whole time. So, you know, I mean, all I did was sing, like, bluesy stuff. So even if I was singing a pop song, I always put an element of, you know, just soul. I'm, like, almost incapable of doing it when I am picking everything. And that's just because of what I love, and it's just so easy for me to sing because it's how I started singing. So it's an effortless thing for me. And it's funny because my entire band and crew who have been with me for over a decade now, they're like, oh my God, finally a record that showcases like your full-on personality, like the sass, the confidence, the soulfulness from your voice. Like, this is the record we've been like expecting from you for a while. We're so glad that we have gotten to see you through this whole journey. Like, obviously I love pop rock, I love everything, I'm not poo-pooing on it, it's amazing. I still love to sing Miss Independent, I still love to sing Since You've Been Gone, I still love to sing all my hits, and I haven't tired of them by any means. I was really ready to do this record because, you know, you never know how long you have on this planet, and like, I just wanted one of my footprints to be completely true to who I am inside and out, you know, that I leave behind. And I wanted my fans to get to know, oh man, this is kind of the record I thought she'd make after Idol, you know? Now, I will say this, if I would have made this record right off of Idol, it wouldn't have been this good. Even the same songs, it would not have been. I think that you have to live through a lot to be able to really convey the messages in this, whether it's a relationship personally or business-wise or with your children or, you know, finding love, like, you know, I just wouldn't have been able to. It would have been real clear and transparent that I hadn't gone through all that. So I'm glad that I'm making it now.
Living in Nashville and the stamp of being immersed in country music is kind of, in my opinion, scattered throughout this record. It's definitely the more bluesy side of country music that you portray. But I was wondering,
yeah, like slow dance. That's one of those.
And Didn't I? And there's a lot of tracks on the album that really, I have to say that as a listener who grew up in the era that Reba McEntire, for example, came out of in the early 80s.
Yeah, or like the Judds or Trisha.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. Like all of them. And so I feel like those influences are really scattered throughout this. And I was wondering how living in Nashville and, of course, having such an iconic mother-in-law sort of influenced you on this record?
Well, in all honesty, I don't know that that really made, either one of those really made a huge impact on me, like, later in life, but all those people people that we were just talking about, I mean, whether it's the Judds or Trisha Yearwood or Travis Tritt or Reba or Ronnie Dunn, like Brooks and Dunn, like all those people, like I grew up just as much listening to that as I did Babyface and Whitney and Toni Braxton and Celine. Like, you know, I grew up listening to all of that equally. So I just always gravitate, though, towards the more soulful people in those genres. Like, I've never been, like, a huge fan of, like, I don't know, just, like, I call it vanilla music. Like, I've never been a fan of, like, just straight up, I don't know, it just seems boring. I can't even, I don't want to obviously, like, name names, that's rude, but, like, you know, just people that don't move you. Like, I've always been a fan of, like, something that's, you know, a singer that reaches into me like an Annie Lennox and just, like, rips my guts out with how great she is. Like, and they're believable. Like, these artists that I loved growing up were believable in the sense that everything, even if they didn't write it, you know, Aretha didn't write a lot of her stuff, but damn, I believed every word. Like, because, you know, she was a vessel for it. She didn't have to write it, but she was the vessel for that person that didn't sing it, and a damn fine vessel at that. So, you know, it's just all these people that influenced me from childhood, that influence has always been there. I just haven't had the chance to work with people that honestly would allow me to make this record. And when I say allow, I know I'm a grown-ass woman, but you are contractually obligated to things, and so you can't, you know, you have to compromise a bit if they're just going to sit on your record. Well, I want to make a great record that's just going to sit on, you know what I'm saying? So the timing wasn't right, so yeah, I had to wait it out. But I'm glad I did, man, because I couldn't have been in a better place in my life. Like, everything, I feel like stars are aligning for not just me, but me and my family, my whole crew. Like, we're all just so happy and, like, doing great, you know?
It's a really interesting time to be a music fan because we're getting these artists. I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm thinking about, for example, the recent struggles like Kesha has gone through. And we're getting these artists who are sort of saying, you know what, I'm just really sick of being in this box that you put me in, and sort of the ownership that you've taken over my career, and I'm taking it back. I'm taking back the power. I'm taking back my voice, and deciding to put out music that seems really authentic to me versus what you think is going to sell at radio.
Well, and, like, I think what's always boggled my mind, because, I mean, let's be real. This has been happening since way back in the day.
Of course.
You know, even Nirvana, or, like, way back in the day with, like, the Ella Fitzgeralds. Like, you know what I'm saying? This has been happening forever where people really want you to fit this certain thing that makes other people comfortable. But being creative isn't about being comfortable. It's about being progressive. So it's just one of those things that it's always boggled my mind. Like, you know, everybody will... Sorry, I just hiccuped Amber at the same time. It was the weirdest feeling ever. So everybody
I
always... I literally hiccuped while burping. I've never done that. anyway, so, you know, people will be like, oh, gosh, like, you know, please don't be like this artist because they're naked all the time. Or please don't be this artist and just focus on your music. Please don't do this. And it's like, you know what? I don't want you to compliment me while derailing someone else's career. Like, because that person is comfortable. That's what they like to do. They love showing skin. They love that. That's how they feel sexy. That's who they are. Like, you know, so I'm not downing anybody that does anything different for me. And I think that's the problem. I think everybody wants everybody to be the same. And that's just not, I mean, you're coming to the wrong industry. Like, it's like everyone's different. And that's what's great about it. And that's why there's radio stations and streaming things that we can now, you know, have everybody's voice heard. And it's supposed to be different. We wouldn't listen to the same thing over and over again. But it's always boggled my mind when, you know, even with Kesha, they're like, oh, like, why does she rap? Why doesn't she just sing? Well, maybe she likes doing that. Like, why are you worried about it? Why do you care that Pink is flying around? Maybe she likes to do that. Obviously, she does. Like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? Yeah, it's just like, why are you worried about it? Like, they're all, you know, Lady Gaga and I, we're very different. But I will say this, where we are similar, she's very respectful and she's one of the sweetest people I've ever met. So, I mean, I think that we have a lot in common, too, and I think that people always try and gear, especially women in the industry, gear us towards each other, like, or against each other, I mean, and, you know, and I'm just not about that. Like, people will be like, oh, my God, did you see what Rihanna was wearing? I'm like, yeah, she looked freaking hot. like, amen, God did good, like, you know. And then they'll be like, oh, I just don't think people should wear that. Well, okay, well, you don't think you should wear that. She's fine. She's comfortable. She's sleeping fine at night. She's not worried about you or your opinion. Like, why are you worried about it? Like, just if it offends you, don't watch it. Like, you know, it just, it boggles my mind how people always try and force people to be something, or they want them, crave them to be something they're not. Because then you don't like them.
Well, I absolutely would agree with you. I can't think of anybody who ever pitched two male singers against each other, unless they're rappers, because there's a lot of ego involved there. But, you know, why is it that always people think that you have to be a one or another type of thing? Like, you either have to like this female singer or that female singer.
Yeah, that's weird to me. It's so weird to me, because like, even my iPhone, like, my music is so random. Like, I have everything from Britney Spears to Imagine Dragons to Nirvana to Andrea Bocelli to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have everyone on my iPhone. Like, on my iPhone. Like, it's, I would never expect, you know, Andrea Bocelli to do something that Britney Spears does, because she's a different kind of entertainer. I would never expect, you know, Nirvana or any of these artists that I love, you too, like, to do something like I do it, because we're not the same. So, and that's okay. But I always think it's weird how they do that with women a lot. And that's why I always try and, you know, I never like to be demeaning, but I like to be sarcastic about it. Just all these little dumb feuds between, you know, women in the industry. It's like, please do not fuel that fire anymore. Like, they already try and do it to us enough. Like, it's fine. Like, we're all going to be fine. Or, we, you know, the only reason why anybody would, I feel, would be that, you know, into an argument is because they feel like they need it in order to survive, like, longevity in this industry, which that's sad. So I don't know why people constantly are pitting, like, people against. There's singers that I don't really like their voice, but I'm not going to hate on them, because you know what? Millions of other people do. Awesome. Good for you.
Right.
Like, it's like, I mean, I don't have to listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't have to sit here and hate on it either. Like, it just seems tacky and, you know, you have a bit more class than that. But yeah, people are always trying to pit people against each other. I just don't get it.
One of the questions that, like, undoubtedly I have to ask you, and it's so appropriate given the lead-in here where you're talking about what makes people comfortable or uncomfortable. When I was listening to this record and I got to a whole lot of woman, I gagged. And by the way, as a drag queen, I will be performing this as soon as it is available.
Oh my God, I hope so. I love, it's literally my favorite song to perform off of any record of mine. It's my favorite song to perform.
My question here is, it takes a really strong woman to put onto her record in song a situation that has plagued you for years, and that's people's obsession with your weight. If it's up, if it's down, if it's good, if it's bad, it's whatever, however they want to see it. And I just had to ask you, what compelled you to say, you know what, I'm just going to take this shit and put it front and center, and I'm going to talk about this, and there.
Well, I mean, I guess my thing is, I was having a conversation with the two girls that from Atlanta that I wrote this song with, and it was like, it wasn't even just about just the aesthetics, just the weight stuff. It was also about, like, it is so hard sometimes to date when you're a successful woman. And then we started getting into, you know, like, where we grew up. And it's always, like, I've grown up, like, you know, you should wear makeup and you should wear heels. You should be beautiful. I mean, don't be too sexy because then you're a slut. Or, hey, you should work really hard at school and you should be smart because no one likes it. You know, you don't want to be a dumb, you know, idiot, you know, for no man wants to marry a dumb idiot. And then it's like, but don't be too smart because you don't want to make them feel uncomfortable or intimidate them. So it's always this, like, this just awkward upbringing from girls, especially growing up in the South. I don't know about growing up in the North, but in the South, it's definitely a, you know, be successful, but not too successful. Like, so it's always this double standard for little girls growing up in the South, and it was just kind of one of those things that this song encompassed all of that. It's like, you know what, I am a lot of woman. Like, I mean, sometimes I am physically. All the time I am emotionally and mentally. Like, I'm always 100% in. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, that's just who I am. And it's just, I don't know, a lot of women worked really hard pioneering the path for me to even have a voice. So why would I not use it, you know? I will say I addressed a whole lot of women and go high. Like, anytime I address a situation, I addressed it in a fun, sarcastic, playful way because I definitely didn't want to, like, you know, fight hate with hate. I'm not into that. But I definitely did make it like a, you know, more of like a sarcastic little jab rather than, like, you know, like, rather than just being hateful or bitter or angry about it. Because I'm not, honestly. I sleep just fine. So, but I think, you know, it's just a fun way for a lot of women, too, like, to embrace where you are in life, who you are, what you look like at this point. Like, we're all under construction at every point in our life. Don't worry about somebody else's construction site. Worry about your own.
It's by far one of the standouts on the record, both in the performance quality of it and the fact that it just addresses something that I think every woman, for all the reasons you mentioned, are going to be able to appreciate. You know what I mean? They're going to be able to appreciate it. So.
Yeah, no, I hope. It's so much fun to perform.
I bet so. All right, Kelly, and the last thing I'm going to ask real quick, because I know you're running late on time, would it be possible to just get a radio check for you for my podcast? Like, you know, this is Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
This is Kelly Clarkson, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio.
Party Foul Radio? Did you say foul?
Foul, like a bird. You know, like a fowl, but it's like a foul.
Oh,
like
a foul. Oh, I was like a bowel movement? I was like, that was amazing.
Yeah, that
that was awesome.
That's always implicit, the bowel movement.
Hey, sometimes life is like that.
It really is.
Sorry. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson hanging out with Party Foul Radio.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Yes.
I can't wait.
I think you should change it to bowel at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, anybody who knows me knows that's entirely implicit. So I can't wait. As soon as I get to go ahead to do a video review of this on my YouTube channel, I'm going to also, you know, without using the sound, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be all in drag.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, geek out completely.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, absolutely. I love you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye.
This is Kelly Clarkson. I'm hanging out with Party Foul Radio.
You gon' love it if you try it. Got your hook, now you're caught up.
Hey guys, I'm Skynet, and we're Superfoo, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio.
I just can't shake this feeling deep in my bones, and though I know I'm better when I'm alone, I call you.
Hey, this is Kirsten, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio.
I call you.
Oh my goodness, you guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. We are rapidly coming to a close of this episode. And
girl, it's been another one. You guys did it.
It's been another one. That's like that
87 girl.
That's been another one. That is like the most nondescript way of discussing it. But it was another one. Oh, yep.
I hope y'all lived.
That's like when some drag queen comes up to me and asks about a performance that they just did, and it was like horrible. And I go,
it was another one.
Oh, girl, you really did it up there. Oh yes, girl. You were getting your life, bitch.
Right. They lived.
You lived up there. Oh, well, you were.
You lived up there,
girl. Yeah. I could tell that you were feeling it. Like,
that just makes me think of how new queens are gonna start up out here now that.
Well, you know, I mean, now that I don't have my show, like, I'm sure that somebody else. Girl, first of all, I was doing my new talent showcases and giving all these new queens opportunities out here, and then, like, 3 years into me doing that, then all of a sudden every show had a new talent showcase.
Right.
Because they're successful and they're great, but like, when I gave girls new talent showcase opportunities, these were, like, legitimately mostly new girls.
Yeah.
These other places that I see doing it are like, come see our new talent showcase. I'm like, these bitches have been doing every show in town for 6 months.
Right.
Including your own. Like, what is new about these bitches?
Right.
Anyway,
But, like, yeah. So Pearl's nondescript. Ah, it's been another one.
It's been another one, girl.
It's been another one. Oh, girl. It's, oh, whoa. It's been another one.
Shut up.
Woo, bitch.
Can you take the heat, bitch?
So.
I can't.
Let's see. What is upcoming this weekend? I do want to say that if you are in the Bay Area and you listen to our podcast, please mark your calendars. Thursday, November 2nd is my Wrestling for Charity event at El Toro Nightclub in the Portola District of San Francisco.
Portola District.
At 2470 San Bruno Avenue, San Francisco. Please put it on your calendar. It's a 7:30 bell time. We're going to be there until probably about 9:30. You guys will be out of there before 10 o'clock. You can come out, enjoy a great, fun night of pro wrestling for and benefiting the neighborhood. And you'll get to see me in action in some capacity there. And I hope that you guys will come support that. My friends, Philip Hua, as well as Shay at Ferment Drink Repeat, and George down at El Toro are all being really supportive of this. I'm really excited about it.
They sound like sweet people.
They are really nice people. The people in the Portola are super...
Portola.
Are super nice. And I'm really glad that things in that neighborhood are progressing. And they are just welcoming me with open arms. I'm doing a lot of stuff over there, it feels like. So that is something that I definitely want you guys to mark your calendars for. Because that will be here right around the... It's right around the corner. It's only like 3 weeks away.
So what are you getting into this weekend?
This weekend...
Are you going to Mr. and Miss Gay?
This weekend, I think I am going to be trying to stop by the Mr. and Miss Gay competition on Sunday. That's Mr. and Miss Gay San Francisco. I'm also hoping to check out the Bare Chest calendar that day has their pageant, where they put the men of the Bare Chest calendar get in drag and they compete in a drag pageant. And so I have some friends who are participating in that, so I'm hoping to stop by and see that as well. It's just a really packed day. I don't understand.
There's so much going on.
These bitches really need to double check their calendars and try to find days when or times when everything is not a fucking clusterfuck. Because a girl can't be at everything at once. So that's what I've got going on this weekend. I'm probably going to be doing the Divas Royale show again this weekend. I don't know. I never know until the last minute. But I do know that on Thursday evening of this week, I will be doing That Time of Month with Maxine Padd over in Oakland.
At Lungamare.
Lungamare.
In Jack London Square.
Yes. So if you are in Oakland on Thursday night, I think it's an 8 o'clock show, maybe 7 o'clock show, something like that. Anyway, come out and see us over at Jack London Square. It'll be super fun to see all my friends, my East babies, as I call them. And yeah, I'm just, it's going to be busy. It may not be busy with drag, but it's going to be busy nonetheless. And I'm still waiting. I'm keep checking the email. Nothing from nothing. Australia, bitch. Not a thing. So that's my schedule this weekend. What is your schedule, Perliqua?
I more than likely will be over at HSF. If you guys want to catch me there, because I'm officially performing there now, go to HSF's website at hsf.com and it'll give you the phone number to make your reservation. And when you call them, just say, can you set me up a reservation for when Pearl is there, and then they'll make sure to let you know my schedule.
Oh, look at that. Like, Pearl's like, could you ask for me? That way they think I'm a valued asset.
People actually are already asking for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I actually had a friend come with a bridal shower this past weekend. And he was the first person I actually know outside of Asia that has seen me perform there. So it's happening. Just call them, girl, and it'll be fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Other than that, I think that is it.
All right, you guys.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and on Facebook.
Yep. Party Foul Radio. And thank you once again to all of our sponsoring organizations, which bring this to you each and every week. We very much appreciate it. I'm looking to expand our coverage still through GuideToGay.com. GuideToGay.com has really been tremendous. They made us this beautiful banner ad for their website.
All right.
They're really promoting us as a hot commodity for their website. So if you want to check out what's going on down in Australia, and presumably this is how maybe my name got thrown into the running for these LGBTI awards in Australia, but go on over to guidetogay.com. Guidetogay.com is Australia's premier LGBTQ website. And really, Rob Manzer and the team at Guide to Gay, thank you so much for all you do with us. It's very much valued and appreciated. Pick up your copy of Left Magazine in San Francisco, or go visit them at liveleft.com. And head over to Daddy's Barbershop to get your hair done. They'll help you look fabulous going into the fall. Anyway, for episode 87, this is Poet Almar.
And your girl, Pearl Tease.
We're signing off. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye. It's so hard.